got a pretty good looking Wednesday crowd tonight. I'm glad that y'all come to be in the Lord's house. Maybe it should have been hotter a lot quicker. I don't know. But it is good to see each and every one of you in here tonight. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, no matter what day it is. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and find your place in Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. We'll be reading all 11 verses tonight. True or false? I made it easy for you tonight. True or false? If you think true, raise your left hand. If you think false, raise your right hand. Did the Apostle Paul had a sister? True or false? The Apostle Paul had a sister. Right hand means true, left hand means false. If you don't know, raise both hands. It'll be a field goal. Where are we going with? We're like, Miss Lisa's like, I don't know. Right hand is true, left hand is false. Apostle Paul had a sister. Y'all remember the story over in Acts chapter 26, how it says his sister, or Paul's sister's nephew. John shaking his head, he remembers that. Acts chapter 23, in verse 16. It talks about how the nephew saved Paul. They knew the people were out to get him, and he went before him. We oftentimes don't think of our apostles and stuff having family members. They were just like us, and they just followed God. God chooses normal people to do wonderful things. A fellow went to the doctor who had told him that he had a bad illness and only a year to live. So he decided to talk to his pastor. After the man explained the situation to his pastor, he asked him, he said, is there anything that he could do? He says, what should you do? He says, go and buy a late model 1970 or 80 Dodge pickup truck, said the pastor. Then, go get married to the meanest, ugliest woman you can find. Next, buy yourself an old trailer house in the Panhandle of Oklahoma. The fellow asked, will this help me live longer? No, said the pastor. But it will make that time feel like a lot longer. Tonight I would like to talk about a burden. And we know what burdens are. We know the Bible speaks of good burdens and bad burdens. You know, we're supposed to cast our cares upon the Lord. Tonight I'd like to speak on the topic of a burden. So we stand, if you find your places in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. We're not going to use the whole text tonight, but I'd like to read it. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The Word of God said, the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, which is September, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God, of heaven the great and terrible, God to keep a covenant and mercy for them to love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes be open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of these children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather thee from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are the servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayers of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this precious time that you have set aside for yourself. Lord, we thank you for the comforts that you have given us. Lord, from the heat. Lord, we thank you for the answered prayers that we heard about tonight. We thank you for those blessings. Lord, we thank you for your dear Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and our redemption through Him. Lord, we pray for this church. Lord, we pray for the need of a pastor right now. You know that need, Lord, and we just pray for wisdom and direction. Lord, we lifted up a lot of prayers. But right now, Lord, we ask that you would spare a moment for us and come down and dwell among us to stir our hearts. Lord, help us to push out the thoughts of our mind and leave them outside just for a moment. Lord, push out all the extra furniture and allow you to come in and completely fulfill us. Lord, we pray if there's a lost one here tonight, that one will be saved. Father God, but we pray more than anything that your Son, Jesus Christ, would be honored. And Lord, we love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You need candy? A burden. That which is borne or carried a load. That which is borne with labor or difficulty. That which is grievous, wearisome, or oppressive. We often talk about burdens in our life. And most of the time when we begin to talk about burdens, we go to the negative side of things. Oh, I got this burden in me. Oh, I got this trouble in my life. Oh, I got this thing over here that's bothering me. Oh, I got this and that going on, and there's so much grief in my life, so much suffering and everything else. These are the burdens that we often talk about. Sometimes these burdens are caused by sin. Sometimes these burdens are caused by God. Allow us to grow. Which is why He tells us in Matthew chapter 11, Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. God knows that we are going to have burdens in our lives. And the ones that we don't cause, He says, bring them to me, and I will help you carry them. Bring them to me, and I will take care of these things for you. You see, God, even though He challenges us to grow, and He adds extra pressure to us sometimes, to the clay, as the Bible puts it, to help mold us and make us in the right way. Even those times, God still wants us and desires us to lay that burden even that He placed upon Him back to Him. He doesn't even want His own burdens to be grievous to us. It is a test of our faith. And He wants to know that we're going to trust Him and allow Him to help us through this situation. He wants those burdens. He wants to help His children as any good father would. God may challenge our lives so that we grow. But even that should not be our burden, but His. But there are good kind of burdens out there. During missions conferences, we love missions conferences around here. We get fired up. We had Brother Nez in here Thursday night, and he laid his heart out there for his Navajo people, we all walked out of here feeling the same way that he did. We started getting a burden for his people. Same thing with Brother Joel Haynes, as he talked about the people in his town that he's going to now, how they had to have armed guards and stuff to go to the grocery stores, how they keep finding people strung out on drugs and stuff. They painted a picture for us. We got a burden for those people. When Brother Blake Allen laid his burden out for Bolivia, our hearts went out to him. When revival time comes around, we get a burden. The preacher gets up here and preaches. He tells us all the things we should and should not do. He lays it all out there in the Word of God. We get on fire and we get a burden to do things better for God. These are good burdens. Oh, we preach so many messages. We talk about heaven. We talk about hell and everything else. And then we get burdened for lost souls. These are good burdens to have. And they are appropriate. And God wants us to have these things. He tells us to. But we go through our missions conferences. No, we get so excited about them. We know the names of our missionaries that came. We know the names of their children and everything else. We fervently pray for them when they're here. We pray for them before they get here because we're excited. We learn all these things about our missionaries. And we get the burden for them. But then what happens? A couple of days later, we still pray for them, but just not as strong as we did when they first were here. We don't have the fervenceness that we had when they first left the presence of the church. We no longer have that strong tie to them. And then a couple of weeks pass. What happened to that revival burden, that stir in the heart, the fire that we had to go out and do the things of God and to act like we're supposed to and to tell others about Christ? The fire gets so weak the bug spirit would put it out. Oh, then we go a couple of months. And we don't even mention the missions conference. We don't even mention revival. We don't think about lost souls. Those burdens that we once had because somebody got up here and stirred our hearts are gone. They're like dead limbs on a tree. They no longer have any life in them. So the burdens that we once had that we thought were good are no longer there. We forget the missionaries. We forget their families. We forget their names. We grow weary and we forget about handing out tracts. We don't even carry them anymore. We once went out with pockets full of them. And now we walk out of the house without even thinking about carrying them. The revival fire is gone. Missionaries get a burden for their countries that God has called them to. We know that Brother Blake Allen got a great burden for the people of Bolivia. He went down there, he served a little bit. When he came back, he knows that God has called him and his family to go back to Bolivia and be missionaries there. He said he had a burden for the people. And that's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. But what happens in a couple of months when he gets over and starts working? He'll do just fine. But I've talked to missionaries on the fields. And come 2 or 3 years down the road, they start to lose their burden for the people. They start saying like, well, these people are never going to get saved. These people are no religions. You can't change their minds. There's nothing you can do. What changed? Their burden changed. They started losing it. They no longer felt the same as they did when they first got on the mission field. They no longer have that fervent heat and compassion for them. The burden dies. And can I tell you, they have the wrong burden. Hey, we do it here in Clovis, New Mexico too. You know that? We get excited about going out soul winning when revival's over. Or maybe we hear a wonderful message on lost souls and we get excited about going out and winning souls. And then all of a sudden it starts to taper off. We see it here. We have 15 one Saturday come out for soul winning. The next Saturday we'll have 12. And the next Saturday we'll have 8. And the next Saturday we'll have the few and faithful. Why? Because we lost that burden that was once instilled. But we start to say the same thing and make up the same excuses. Nobody wants to answer the door. It's not worth doing it. It's too hot. It's too cold. It takes too much time. We lost our burden. None of those things mattered in the first place when we had a strong passion for lost souls. But our burden died. Why? We had the wrong burden. Yes, burden for lost souls is a good thing. Burden for missionaries are a good thing. Burden for God's Word is a wonderful thing. But what happens when we get those burdens in a couple of months? We're going to youth camp in a couple of weeks. We left youth camp last time. Every one of our teens was on fire. They were excited. They were bouncing up and down in the vans on the way home. Brother Jacob, I'm going to do this. Miss Gail, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go do that. A week and a half were happening. It nosedived. They lost their burden. They lost the fire that was instilled in them in that week of camp. But don't judge them. It happens to us as adults too. And you expect it to happen to the kids that go home in ungodly homes, that listen to their parents do things that they shouldn't. They fail very quickly. They lose their burdens very quickly. Why? They had their own burden. I've prayed countless times for burdens myself. I prayed many times, Lord, give me a burden for lost souls. Because I want to see people saved. I love going out and knocking doors. But can I tell you, I've had to repeatedly pray for that burden. Why? Because did it get up and run away? No. Did God take that burden away from me? Not at all. I lost it. I let go of it. I lost that burden that I begged God for. You know, you ask God for a burden with a sincere heart and He's going to give it to you. Because He wants to see you do great things. He wants to see you work for Him. But I ask for the wrong burdens. A preparation for a burden is a soft heart. And a willingness to go and do what God has asked us to. We find Nehemiah as a high official in the inner courts of Artaxerxes, king of Persia. He is a king cupbearer and is taken care of in his position. Yes, he has a dangerous job. For his job is to taste everything that goes before the king to see if it's poisoned. So every time he takes a drink, he never knows if he's going to die or if he's going to live. But being as he's in this position, he's well taken care of. He's very close to the king and he has a very good bond with the king. In verses 1 through 4 of Nehemiah, as we read tonight, we find Hananiah has told Nehemiah about the people of Israel and the hard time and bondage that they're having. He told them about the walls of Jerusalem, the holy city, and about the gates that were burnt. This sounds familiar. This is what our missionaries do. We have a missionary that comes in here and he tells us about a lost and dying world that he wants to go into. He tells us, the missionaries come in here and tell us about the living conditions, about the food conditions, and everything else. They bring us bad news about a country that he wants to go to see lost souls saved. Hananiah did the same thing to Nehemiah. He brought back a report of how his people were struggling, how the city was torn down, how the gates were burned. He brought back bad news. And this had an immediate effect on him. We find in verse 4. It says, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven." This broke his heart so much that he started weeping. He started crying. The Bible uses the term mourn. We know that term when somebody dies that we mourn for days for a lost loved one as a piece of us have been removed. The Bible also says that he had to sit down because the strength of his legs come out from underneath him. Have you ever wept for someone so much? You just sit. This is the burden that Nehemiah had for his people. This is the burden that Nehemiah had for the city of Jerusalem. And when he heard what happened, the Bible says he wept and he mourned and he fasted and he prayed certain days because he had a burden for them. There are people all over the world dying and going to hell. There are people in the U.S. that are dying and going to hell. There's people in Clovis, New Mexico dying and going to hell. There are people in our families right now that are lost And maybe not tonight. Maybe not next week. But if they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell. Who cares? Look at our faces. Check our hearts. The people in the story of Nehemiah didn't even die. They were but in bondage and suffering. But he loved them so much that he cried. And he wept. And he mourned. And he fasted. And he prayed days and nights to the God of all creation that he would help. But what do we do when we hear about lost souls? We have no compassion. We don't have the right kind of love for them. We don't have a burden for them. Nehemiah did. He had a great burden for his people. Where is our mourning? And where is our crying for our lost souls that are around us? How come the news of death and hell doesn't bother us anymore? We sit in our seats. The words rattle in our heads and never makes it to our hearts. Nehemiah started weeping over the fact of a wall and suffering people. He cried so much that he mourned for them and for his city. And we won't even mourn over a soul going to hell. We won't shed a tear. He fasted and he prayed unto God. And we hardly speak a kind word or extend a handshake. Why? We don't have the right burden. All the so-called burdens we get fade away and become dead. And so do the souls of men because of it. We don't have the right burden. We find Nehemiah for the next couple of verses and all the way to the end of the chapter praying to God of all Israel. He's praying for forgiveness and for mercy and for help. He is praying for strength. He's covering all the bases in his prayer that he knows that he can do. He's reminding God of things in the past. He says, remember what you told Moses. Help us. Remember, Lord, you promised. If your people would but turn to you, you would do these things. If your people would but turn to you, those that are scattered, you would bring them back together. Lord, remember, you said these things. He's begging and he's pleading. You know what fasting does to God? Can I tell you what fasting does for God? You know our prayers of a saved person gets to God's ears. But can I tell you when you fast, it's like blowing them through an amplifier. It's like using a bullhorn and sounding in the courts of the high mighty God. Because He knows you mean it. He knows you want it. Nehemiah fasted certain days, the Bible says, because he had a strong compassion and burden for his people. Because he wanted to see God do wonderful things. He wanted God to bring them back to the place that they were at before they were taken away. He wanted to restore Jerusalem and the walls. So Nehemiah was doing everything he knew how to do. He prayed. He cried. He fasted. He reminded God of His promises, for he knew His Word. What do? Oh Lord, just save them. And we go about our business. Nehemiah had a burden. He inflicted his body because he loved them. He had a burden for them. He has such a burden that he really wants God to help. The Bible said he is crying out for days. He's pleading. With all sincerity and desire to get a hold of God's ear. He says, listen. We find him reminding. He's doing all that he can do. He's like Jacob when he's wrestling the angel before daylight. He just won't turn loose. He keeps at it and he keeps at it until God answers him. Daniel done the same thing in Daniel chapter 10. He said he fasted for a number of days. 21 days he fasted. Until God answered his prayers. He had a burden. You know, we should plead and plead like Nehemiah did. We should get down on our knees and cry out to God and remind Him of the promises that He made us. We should set fast for the lost souls. We should set fast for our churches. We should set fast because we want things done for God. We should beg and plead until we get a hold of God's ear and God answers our prayers. He says that He will. But we don't try. We don't have that compassion. We don't have that burden or that fire or that zeal that's necessary to reach up and grab a hold of the ear of God and say, "Listen, God, help us." We don't cry out to Him because we don't have the right burden. In Nehemiah, there was a difference. The difference is, days left over. In chapter 2, we find Nehemiah still brokenhearted. We started out in chapter 1, verse 1, is in the 20 years of the month of Chislu, which is September. And then you go over to Nehemiah chapter 2, and we find in chapter 2, verse 1, the month of Nisan, which is the month of April. He didn't just give it one day. He didn't just give it one week. He gave it months. And months, he cried out and he prayed. And when he went before King Artaxerxes, and the king seen his face, he says, "I know that you're not sick. I know that you're taken care of because you're my cupbearer. But yet I see the consciousness of your face, and I know that you're in misery." Why? Months later, after he had heard the story of his people, his heart was still broken. He's still praying. He was still calling on God Almighty to answer and to help. He hadn't lost his burden yet. It had been months. But yet his face still showed that his heart was melted. Oh, what a burden did he have. And he shares his burden with the king, as we should share our burden with others. But we don't make it 3 or 4 weeks. And we're over it. Even if it lasts that long. But Nehemiah had the right kind of burden. It wasn't a burden for his people that he had. It wasn't a burden for the city of Jerusalem, though. We find his burden in the last verse of our text. It's a burden for the Lord. He's looking for people that fear God. He's looking for people that love God. Why? Because Nehemiah's burden was God. From beginning to the end of the book of Nehemiah, you'll find but one thing: God. In all his heart, he cried out to God. In all of his life, he lived for God. His burden was God. Can I tell you? I've prayed. I preached on being thoroughly Christ because God burdened my heart for that. I preached on being sheep for God. Surrendering to His will. I preached on panting after His commandments and longing for Him. Only to get to one point. I need a burden for God. I need a burden for the Creator. I need a burden for the One that made us. Why? I tell you why. All the other burdens I've ever asked for and God's gave me, they died out. They did. I lost my zeal for souls because I asked for the wrong thing. I asked God for revival in my heart. I asked for the wrong thing. What I should have asked for was this: God. God, I need a burden for You. Why? Why do we need a burden for God? Because let me tell you, He's the trunk of the leaves and the trees of the world. Everything feeds off of Him. And we don't have the center of God in our life and everything else dies. We may get burdens a little bit. And they may last a short time. But you get a burden for the trunk that supplies everything. And they're not going to die out. You get a burden for God, you're going to sin less. You get a burden for God, you're going to read your Bible more. You get a burden for God, you're going to go soul winning more. You're going to sing joyous songs more. You got to have a burden for the One that created us, or nothing will work. It's got to be God. Nehemiah had a burden for God. The one theme in our Bible is what? is God. From beginning to end is God. The center of our lives need to be God. Or else everything else dies. The temporal. It don't last. But God, as the Bible says, He took me some steps. I thought I needed this. I prayed for that. I thought I needed this. I prayed for that. And finally this week, searching the Scriptures, I know what I need. But God, are your burdens dying out tonight? Do you have an on and off relationship? Do you sometimes want to win souls? Do you sometimes want to pray in the morning? Do you sometimes want to listen to godly music? Or do you all the time? I tell you, we get the right burden. We focus on the right thing. We grab a hold of the trunk of the world, which is our God and Creator. And we don't let go. And He'll supply our every need. He'll give us the burdens to see souls saved. The revival that we want. Grab a hold of God. He'll give us that revival if we don't let go of Him. You have an everlasting relationship with Him. He'll make you stronger. God will keep you out of sin. God will make you want to study. God will make you want to obey. God will make you want to come to the altars and weep and cry for lost souls that you know of. You just got to grab a hold of Him. Nehemiah grabbed a hold of God. His burden didn't die out. No matter what was throughout, thrown at him from chapter 1 through chapter 6 when the wall was built again. People mocked him. People came after him to kill him, to trick him, and to make fun of him and everything else. He didn't matter. He had a hold of God. And he knew that all was going to be all right. Well, you got a hold of tonight. Do you got a hold of the one that's going to supply your need to sustain of life of Christ? We think of Paul. He had a hold of God. He had one goal in his whole life. That was Jesus Christ. From the time that he got saved on Damascus Road, yes, he loved seeing people saved. Yes, he loved preaching and teaching the Word of God in the synagogues and in the streets. We know that he was the apostle to the Gentile nations. But he was singing in the prison when he had nothing because he had a hold of God. When he was in a day and a night in the deep, he was still worshiping God because that's who he had a hold of. He didn't have a hold of people. He didn't have a hold of hopes and dreams. He had a hold of Christ and he never let go. If we get a hold of God, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, we're not going to fail. We're not going to lose that burden for souls. We're not going to get tired. We're not going to get weary. Let's grab a hold of God and not let go. Let's stand. Father God, the invitation is yours. I've done what you asked me to. I thank you for breaking my heart. Have your way on your way, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Altar is open. You have the hold of the right thing in your life tonight? Or are you trying to do everything else and just hope? We've got to grab a hold of God. He is the one that's going to keep us going. He's the one that's going to keep our burden strong. Do you have a burden for God? Everything else comes off of Him. How about this? Are you saved tonight? There's been a time in your life when you come and ask Jesus Christ into your heart and you repented of your sins. Tonight would be a wonderful night to be saved. The altar is open. Are you holding on to God and asking Him for everything? That's part of it right there, surrendering all to Him. grab a hold of God, get a burden for Him, you're not going to fail. You're not going to fade. You will succeed. Paul figured it out. He got a hold of God and did wonderful things. We can't just go after lost souls. We can't just go after revival. We have to grab a hold of God. At least I wanted to meet with the VBS workers, but we'll go ahead and dismiss. That way, if you're not working VBS, you're free to go home. But Brother Steve, would you close this out tonight?